All right. In this segment, I want to talk about coaching because, man, has that been a hot topic. We'll get into that with Brian as well, with Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, their big moves, Sonny Dykes, so much going on in the world of college football. The topic of coaching is front and center. And I made this statement on Monday because over the weekend in the colleges and pros, I saw guys fielding the punt, a punt at the 5-yard line, 4-yard line, 3-yard line, often leading to disaster. And I wondered why they weren't coached to let that ball go. And we've seen this a lot, whether it's how to tackle or other fundamentals. It seems like those are slipping away. And my theory that I'm not ready to take public yet, but that I'm workshopping, is that the fundamentals aren't coached like they used to be because football has gotten so complicated from an X's and O's perspective. The two offenses and defenses don't just come out to the line of scrimmage, get set, and then the ball is snapped. There is so much motion and disguise and audibles and then reacting to the audibles and signals sent in from the sideline way more than we had 25 years ago, 35 years ago, 45 years ago, that I think they spend so much time on that that they have no time to coach the fundamentals. They have no time to teach proper tackling form or how to field a punt or where to field a punt or whether you should stay in bounds and let the clock run or get out of bounds. Or I just don't think they have time to coach that.
I think there's a lot to that, and I think that accents the really true good coaches. Because I think what's the true genius of Nick Saban? Getting his players to believe in what we're doing here every day with this work that you think is monotonous is what makes us great. Same thing with Belichick.
And some coaches still also have time to coach the fundamentals. Like, I think there are exceptions. I think most Alabama players, most New England players, some other sports, they do have time to drill down on that. But generally speaking, I don't think it's there. Well, I got a lot of feedback, as you might expect, from the P1s. One P1 said, like everything else, coaches have advanced over the last 50 years, and today's coaches are way better than Tom Landry or Chuck Knoll. I don't know that I agree with that. Obviously, I don't, because I'm workshopping this theory. P1 Bryce says, your coaching is getting worse theory is 100% correct. He's been a high school coach in this area for a long time, coaching quarterbacks. And he said, you're dead on that small fundamentals are not taught anymore. My theory for some time now is due to coaches coaching systems that are so fundamentally different from what they ever actually played in. Of course, coaches can adapt, but the game is evolving quickly, and coaches that played in a wishbone or an I formation that had 4 passing plays are now coaching kids to play in a spread system that has 14 different formation options and complex reads on run plays and probably 20 to 40 passing plays. So these coaches stretch themselves to learn that system, and they have no idea what fundamentals to teach to that system.
Yeah, a lot of it is just getting lined up right.
Mm-hmm.
Lined up right in coverage and how you adjust on the offensive side. Okay, what's your adjustment route if that happens? And it doesn't always talk about and stress the fundamental part of it.
Plus, I think that coaches have so much more to pay attention to these days than fundamentals. It's the complicated systems, but it's also, what did we hear, for example, when the Mavericks were looking for a new coach? Well, everybody hated Carlisle, so we got to bring a guy in here that everybody likes, that everybody can relate to, and that he can relate to the stars, because that's what's important these days. And there's almost no place for the drill sergeant anymore. And if you are a drill sergeant, you better also have the trust of your players, and you better also be able to relate to your players, and that's where culture comes in. And Joe Smith in The Athletic did a great piece on championship culture. Is it real, or is it something that the media overhypes? And so he sat down with Joe Madden, Bruce Arians, Steve Kerr, and Nick Saban, and asked those 4 championship coaches about culture. And he started with the first question, how do you start creating a culture? And I won't go through everybody's response to all of these, but these were the ones that interested me. How do you create a culture? How do you start? Joe Maddon said, you have to do everything you possibly can to build relationships with the people you're working with. There is no culture that can be formulated or made to thrive unless you know each other and trust each other. That's where it starts. You know what that made me think of?
Mm.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
That's his number one priority,
yeah.
Creating those relationships. You got to understand each assistant coach, the trainers, each player, because they're all different.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians said, we start by talking about loyalty, trust, and respect. We start every single season with the same speech and explain what those three words mean. It's about building a culture of accountability to each other. If you can't trust anyone, you can't look yourself in the mirror and make the right decision.
Yeah.
Then they asked, who guided your understanding of culture? Nick Saban said, Bill Belichick. Define the role that everyone had in the organization. He was very specific in how we were going to do things.
The whole do your job philosophy.
Right.
You've got a job, just do it.
Steve Kerr said, Phil Jackson. Everything was connected. The triangle offense was part of his philosophy that everybody on the team had to be connected and everybody mattered. Kerr also said Greg Popovich was similar to Phil. Pop had a quote on the wall about a stone cutter hammering away at the stone, and on the 100th blow, the stone breaks. But the stone cutter knew it took the first 99 to break the stone, not the last one. Pop's philosophy was, we're going to work every single day and we're going to pound the rock.
Yeah.
Asked, how do you see culture in an organization? How do you see it? How do you know it's there? Joe Maddon said, when you walk in a room, you see how a group gets together. You can see that everyone trusts one another. The conversation flows more easily. There's probably more sincere laughter. Everybody is pulling for each other. Don't we hear that often?
Yeah, it's real. I know it's something we kind of dismiss about, but all of that stuff that a coach puts in, you know, that first day, and they preach it and they preach it, and when you have success and it's realized, that's when it really starts happening for you. It's a hard thing to define and it's a hard thing to achieve, but I totally believe it and it's very real.
Bruce Arians said, our team worked really hard, but we had a tendency to beat ourselves. Penalties, bad plays, finding a way to lose instead of finding a way to win. So we had to correct that. And adding Tom Brady, he said, took culture to another level. One guy can make such a big difference. When Brady came in, the way he comes to work every single day, he takes care of himself, the way he prepares, his intensity, the attention to detail, it's like having another coach on the field. And a lot of these guys echoed that if your star is squared away and not half-assing it, then that is the greatest trickle-down effect you can have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Steve Kerr said that. He said, I felt it every day, what was happening, you know, in Chicago. It felt special.
Yeah.
He said it was important for me as a role player because it felt so special. I didn't want to let the team down. I wanted to do my role, whatever it was.
And make sure those guys that are doing all that are really good players too.
Yeah. You need that, of course, to start
talent.
With.
But, you know, we've seen plenty of teams, though, that have a lot of talent, but they don't meet expectations.
The most talented team does not always win the championship.
No.
How do you create synergy with your leadership? Nick Saban said, the first thing we do is have some leadership seminars here. We try to develop leadership in our players. We don't just anoint them when they come in as a leader. By creating this awareness of what leadership takes and how to be a leader. I thought that was interesting because a lot of times we hear leaders organically emerge from a locker room, but Saban tries to make those leaders.
Yeah, he can probably pinpoint them pretty early in their time there.
Maddon said, I try to gather who I perceive to be the most influential guys on the team, get together with them during spring training, and go over policies for the year. How do we do things here? How does this locker room operate? What does travel look like? Who's permitted on our plane? You empower the group to make those kinds of decisions. That reminded me a little bit of Jason Kidd's leadership council.
Yeah, I don't think the leadership council is such a bad idea. I really don't.
Steve Kerr said the players have to be accepting of coaching. Michael Jordan really respected Phil. Maybe it was because he played for Dean Smith and he recognized the power of a great coach.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan was to Pop what Steph Curry is for me. It's amazing when you have a generational talent who also happens to be unbelievably humble and amenable to coaching, and if necessary, criticism. Those players determine whether that culture is going to form or not. So if you see Jordan saying, okay, Phil, yeah, you're right, I'll do what you say, or Duncan saying, yes, you're right, or in his case, Steph being okay with Kerr coaching him, that has an incredible trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
But if you have a superstar that says, screw the coach, I know what I'm doing, that can be really bad. That's a cancer that grows.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you fix that outside of chasing the coach off, mm-hmm. finding somebody else, which I guess Chicago did.
How do you implement the culture? Saban says, we don't have any signs up that say win a national championship or win the SEC. I tell players that outcomes are distortions. Focus on the details. As soon as you worry about winning as opposed to the next play, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing to do in any sport. Mm-hmm. You start thinking about the result as opposed to what you're supposed to do on that particular play or shot or whatever the sport is.
Madden said it's about attention to detail. With the Cubs in 2015, we were doing a relay drill in spring training, and it was awful. I had to stop it. I got really upset because the attention to detail was lacking. I brought out an old A-ball drill we utilized in instructional league for years, and I made them go through this rudimentary drill. Some guys thought it was beneath them because they were major league players, but I told them we weren't going to win the way they were doing it. Kerr said, I had great advice from Pete Carroll. I talked to him before I started coaching the Warriors. His advice was, what is most important to you in your life? What are you built on? Pick the four most important values in your life and implement that every day. And Kerr said, for me, it was competitiveness, joy, mindfulness, and compassion. And those became our team's core values.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the media or the fans, you know, we look at, I don't know, sayings that are up on a locker room wall or on a shirt or something, and it doesn't mean that much to us, but with them, it really is everything. It's what that coach is trying to put in. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think that they all have that same idea of, we've got to, that teamwork that you get is, you got to define how you're going to get there. And what are those values? What's the direction of the team? And I do think it is different now for these professional coaches, these college coaches. I just think in the last 5 years, the locker room has changed.
Yes, it has.
And how you get to these guys and how you get them to buy in.
And finally, I thought this was interesting, and Saban brought this up, and this wouldn't work at the pro level, I don't think. But it would definitely make an impact for colleges. This is college football he's coaching. He said he brings in stars, no matter the sport, that he brought in Kobe one time to talk to his Crimson Tide. And one of the players asked Kobe, how did you score 60 points when you were in your 20th year in your last game? And Kobe said, because I worked out 8 hours a day for 365 days a year for 20 years.
Yeah. I felt it that night. I just put up a bunch of shots. It was the work.
And Saban said, that reinforces the, you think I'm a star player, but it's all the stuff that, all the little stuff I did, the work ethic I had to try to become perfect. You never reach perfection, but it's just that constant process, which Jason Garrett had the right idea.
And he did.
Garrett got the whole process thing from Saban.
Yep.
It's the process thing. But you have to have a lot more going into how you implement that process and get players to buy into that process.
Yeah. It's fascinating. You know, I have a son that's in the coaching industry, and it's always fascinated me. You know, mm-hmm. how does a coach get the most out of his players, whatever that is? You know, and sometimes that's just being a 500 team. That's a great coaching job. And the thing that I've always not liked is – sometimes we look at that and go, I just kind of dismiss that. No, that's a great story, what they did. They were 8-8, but that's about as good as that team mm-hmm. could have done by their own ability and by that coach's ability. And I don't know, it's changing because I think there is such an instant gratification that we have now that it's got to be, you know, the ultimate. And sometimes it takes a while to get there. And that's why a coach, I don't know, what do you have now, 2 years?
Maybe.
You better get it going fast, or you better get that culture going, those values going early, because you're not going to have time really to develop it. And I think that's one thing that's really getting away.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.